Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
And welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting at the roundtable with mothers and daughters around the world. Good morning, mothers and daughters. Hey, it's a blessed day to be alive. It's a beautiful fall day. Can't ask for a better day. I'm telling you, it is absolutely gorgeous. Just want to say welcome to the show, and we're going to have a good conversation today. Anytime it gets interesting before I get on, I always know it's going to be good. Because there's always something trying to keep you from doing what the Lord has asked you to do. But you know what, you say, I'm going to do it anyway. And then you're going to believe that it's going to happen the way that you know it should happen. And it happens anyway. It's all in your thoughts. Don't get caught up with, well, maybe it's not going to happen or maybe it's not for me. You know, no, you don't want that. What you want to say, oh, this is going to happen. Why? Because I said so. I believe it's going to happen. And whatever I say and believe, I receive. Simple as that. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you. All right, good morning again. Let me go to my co-hosts, Cynthia Oliver and Deborah Tyler this morning. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
All right. How are you all doing today?
I see how you're doing. It's a beautiful fall morning. No complaints here.
Deborah?
No complaints here. Beautiful day. No rain. You know, my kind of weather. No sweating for me.
Yeah, and it's Saturday, so everybody gets a little rest, I believe. Most people are off on Saturday. Some people are working, but, you know, for the most part, people kind of chilling out from a stressful week, and maybe not stressful because everybody didn't have a stressful weekend. I know some people did have a stressful weekend, and so we're just going to pray that they find peace and love and joy and happiness today and that they get to relax. And just let the ways of the world and the troubles of the world be in the hands of the Lord. All
Amen.
Right, so this week has been an interesting week. I thank God for it. It's just like wonderful. You know, we had the end of classes this week, Professor Oliver, and then we're getting ready to start again this coming week. Well, we had the orientation, and so we are coming up to graduation. In January, mothers and daughters out there, it has been a fast-paced year. I know a lot of people saying, you guys, that we'll be glad when 2020 go past, but you don't want to rush it. You want to go through the process, and hopefully you learn the lesson as you travel out of 2020 into 2021. Because if we don't learn the lessons, guess what? We carry it with us into 2021. And that thing will just prolong and stay with us because it's all about our thoughts and what we think and what we believe and what we receive. So,
Amen.
With all that being said this morning, how was your week, Deborah? That was the question I wanted to ask. I know you're doing good today.
Well, my week was rather simple and easy and you know, no complications. Just trying to, you know, not get you know, all involved in the mind with what's going on with the election, and, you know, not mentally disturbed, put it that way. And so, you know, trying to keep the anxiety down, you know, as we await the next president. So it's been a week of, you know, pretty mild, but constantly trying to, hey, you're not going to sit there for 3 hours with that. You're not, no. You're going to check it in and check out. Check in, check out. That's it, you know. And so, you know, no. They've been praying for the country, you know.
Yeah. And that's the thing right there. That's what I did this week, is just stayed in prayer and, you know, and said, God, I just pray that every vote is counted according to the way they voted, and God, your will be done. That's it. Other than that, it's what you can say. Just pray for people so they don't get too anxious, you know. It's not about that. So I think we got a good topic this morning to address some of those issues. Zethia, what was your week like?
Well, I never get involved one way or the other. It's going to be what it's going to be. Like you say, you just pray and you keep it moving. And I had a productive week. Grades out. Had orientation last night and to get started with this term. Moving, you know, since I moved here to Tallahassee, just getting acclimated, got my driver's license changed and all of that, all some things that needed to get done. And so I had a very productive week and woke up early this morning, woke up around 8 and got some reading done for this course that we just started. And so I'm ahead of the game and all is well. I am determined to be okay no matter what happens, because I trust God and not man, so I'm good to go. I don't allow anything that's going on in the political world to affect me one way or the other, because I just determined to trust God and all is well.
Very good. Well, the one thing that I can say, let me just say this to the audience, because we have new guests on all the time, and not guests, people coming to the show listening, our listeners, and a lot of times when we start talking in conversation, someone might not know what we're talking about. We have a Mother and Daughter Bible College, and the Bible College is geared. It started out by helping the women that was then incarcerated, and now it has expanded to online classes. So that's what we're talking about, graduation. We started, we got a group of ladies that's coming out in January's graduation, and I'm just amazed. I got up this morning and said, this is November. We are going to have graduation in a couple months. It's just like we just got started. So for all of you out there that want to finish your college degree, you can go to our website at mdbn.org. That's mdbn.org. Send us some information at info, and we'll get back to you within 24 hours to see, you know, what we can do to help you complete your college degree, is, as we say, help you start where you stopped. All right, ladies, this morning, and we got 2-4 into it, but Deborah, if you could give us a prayer this morning.
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today to say thank you. Thank you for waking us up, letting us rise to see another day. We ask that you would do what you do, Lord. Send your word so it may heal and deliver, Lord. And it may comfort and console those hearts that's heavy with anxiety and all the things that's going on right now in this country. We ask that you would be in the midst of everything, that you would give us what we need to make it day by day, Lord. We ask today that you would have your way, that we would submit to your will and to your lead, to the Holy Spirit guide, and that we would be what you call us to be, not what the world will have us to be, but what you will have us to be, Lord. We thank you for loving us, in spite of what we do. When we miss the mark, we thank you for not counting it against us. We love you, Lord. We adore you. Have your way, Lord. Let your word go out and accomplish that thing. Thank you for using us. Thank you for counting on us. Thank you for trusting us to do your work. Touch the audience and soften the souls of the hearts that's heavy. Soften the souls, for a word can be deposited this day, or maybe a word can be water. We thank you. We plant and we water, and you give the increase. We let you do what you do, Lord. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this morning, ladies, and also, audience, I want to just remind you that you can go to our website, the same website, mdbn.org, and get you a copy of the Mother and Daughter Bonding Magazine. And tell your friends and family to go get a copy, because right now we're allowing you to get a copy, and we're not charging for the magazine. We are actually giving a subscription away, so you have an opportunity to invite all your friends, all the mothers and daughters you know, grandmothers, granddaughters, stepmoms, stepdaughters, you know, any woman that's overseeing a daughter, you know, she's in that motherly role. Please let them know. Go get the magazine. Read the magazine. There's some great stories in there. There's testimonies in there and tidbits for mothers and daughters that will help you improve your mother and daughter relationship. So pass that on. Go to the website, mdbn.org. All right, ladies, I'm going to go into our topic today, and I'll come back and pick you up in a few minutes.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, audience. Oh, what an exciting day. I'm telling you. Whew, first of all, I want to say condolences to my family. My son-in-law's grandmother passed yesterday morning. I was out of town, and the moment I heard I had no reservations, let me pack my stuff up and return home, because he would have done that for me. And and his grandmother was my best friend, a good friend of mine for years. And so she was more than just my daughter's grandmother-in-law. She was a friend. And, of course, bless her heart, she was 92 years old. So what a way to live. And she lived independently up until maybe about 4 or 5 months ago. So can't say anything negative except for just praise God. She had a good life, wasn't sick all her life, wasn't in and out of hospitals. She just had a, but we'll be celebrating her homegoing. And I just wanted to say that out there for the family that, you know, we send love and peace from Mother and Daughter Blog Talk Radio here, mothers and daughters around the world, just coming together, sending love to the family. Okay, today, ladies, our topic is mothers and daughters, fear not. Fear not. You know, this past week as I was listening to people talk on television, people talking to me personally, things that I was reading, and I saw one common thread in most of the conversation. Even though people say, well, you know, I'm not worried about it, it doesn't bother me, there's still, you can say it out of your mouth, but in your mind and your heart, there's still that thought of what's going to happen. I mean, you'd be inhuman not to think that, because, you know, we are in the world as Christians, but we are not of the world. But when you are in something, your eye gates see it, your ear gates hear it, and your mouth speak it, because it penetrates through your thoughts. You can't control thoughts. It'll come, but what you do, you try to manage those thoughts to the point where you say, you know, I am not going to give this thought any place. I'm going to cast this thought down. And you're constantly casting it down because that thought is still coming. That's that common thread. Want to put fear in you. That is the persecution. God, Jesus said to us, you know, if you follow me, persecution means you're going to be picked on. You're going to be tempted. You know, all kinds of things are going to come and try to get you off of your pathway. When you're doing all that you can do, your very, very best, and you get up and you say, God, I thank you for this day. It's an awesome day and things look good. I feel good. You go to the mirror and you look in the mirror and it's one of those days when you just look good. You know, everything is just coming up roses and you say, wow. And then you walk out your door and someone say something ugly or give you a nasty look or someone pull in front of you, someone throw the finger up at you, someone say something that just kind of, see, that's that enemy. That's that, he's there to steal that joy. Because when you have joy, you got to fight to keep it. It doesn't linger just to be lingering. You got to fight to keep it. You had to fight to get it, and you got to fight to keep it. When I say fight to get it, you had to think on good things. Think on these things, things that are pure, that are good, that are joyful. Think on these things. When you think on good things, then you wake up the next morning feeling good. If you go to bed worried and tormented, you're going to wake up the next morning the same. He said, fear not. Fear not. You know, and you could go to Isaiah 41:10. That's what he told Isaiah. Isaiah running around there worrying and stuff. He said, Isaiah, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I'm with you. I'm with you. That's all you need to know. When doubt, fear, creeping into your thought, all you got to do, as I said this morning when I sent a message out to the group, introduce them to faith. Because once you pull faith into the arena, fear and doubt has to leave. Good and bad can't stay in the same thought form, can't stay in the same spot in your mind. You can't think good and evil at the same time. It's going to be one or the other. You can't be fearful and at peace at the same time. Impossible. It's one or the other. Think good and bad at the same time. It's one or the other. So why am I saying this? Because that's why he says, I give you death and I give you life. And extended his hands, he said, choose, you choose. But let me give you a little hint. I'm paraphrasing here. Choose life. And choose it more abundantly. Don't just choose life that you can just have just enough to get by from day to day. Just enough for you. Whew, I made it yesterday. I had some beans and rice and the light's still on and had enough to pay my rent. And whew, thank you, Lord. That's not what he wants for you. He said to have life and have it more abundantly. Abundantly means you got more than enough. You got enough that you could see somebody and say, you know what, let me help this person out here. Let me buy them some groceries. Let me take them to lunch. Let me help them pay their light bill. Let me help them get a car. More than enough. Because if you just got enough for yourself, then you can't help nobody else. So the surplus is there waiting on you to come get it. So that you can somebody else. And especially mothers and daughters, when we are Christian mothers and daughters, when you know the word of God. But if you're living the word of God, it's going to be a surplus. And a surplus don't have to be a surplus that you run around and tell everybody, oh, I helped them with this and I did that. No, that's not what God wants you to do, because he said if you do that, then you've gotten your reward. You get nothing from me. So you want to be able to have more than enough and say, Lord, thank you for blessing me so much. You gave me surplus. Who would you like for me to bless with the surplus? Because then you see you're not worried. Fear not, for I am with thee. So you don't have to worry about tomorrow what you're going to wear and what you're going to drink and all of these things that we tend to worry about. Who's going to do what for whom? Fear not. Don't even worry about it. Cast your cares onto me. Because I got you. But see, it sounds easy. I know somebody said, well, Dr. Bessie, that sounds easy. And the way you're saying it, it's just like it's just going to happen. It will if you believe it. And you stand on it. Once you receive that and you make up your mind, this is what I believe. I will not fear, then nothing is going to move you until you change that thought, until you decide to accept another thought. But if you pick the thought, stay in the thought, nothing can move you. And I thank God that I'm in that space. I don't worry about anything. It took me years to get there. I don't worry. Every day I get up and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do for you today? Because I know in my heart I am still in that thought. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to worry. Because I've been there, done that. couldn't sleep at night, waking up, down, soaking wet, feared that this God, and guess what? None of those things happened. Have you ever had a thought that was so paralyzing? You could have passed out, had a heart attack or stroke, waiting on it to happen. And it never happened. Not knowing we're cursing ourselves. Cursing ourselves with our own words. The enemy have you speaking and cursing yourself with your own words because he has no power and authority over you. So he knows the only power and authority is to get into your head, into your thoughts, and get you to turn those thoughts on to you. And now you fighting yourself because you're not speaking what God told you to speak. You're not saying what God told you to say, and you're not doing what God told you to do. So therefore, you are cursing yourself. You have prisoned and imprisoned yourself. And the enemy is laughing because he don't have to, he can't even touch you unless God gave him permission. So he got a new thing going on. I don't have to worry about negative thoughts into their mind. Make them think they thought of it. A thought comes to your mind, you said to yourself, where did that come from? Well, if it's not a good thought, guess who it is? It's not a rocket scientist to figure that out. So today we're talking, mothers and daughters, fear not. Go to Isaiah 41:10. Look at it. Read it. Ask God to show you, to give you wisdom and understanding of it. Because once you get it and it's deposited into your subconscious mind, you don't have to worry about it. It is there till you decide, well, maybe that's not true. Now you've just undone all that you've done so that you could have the peace and security, the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding and the faith that you need to conquer anything that you desire. So it's not a struggle with the world. It's a struggle within your own head. You decide if you want to worry. You decide if you want to doubt the word of God. Because if you're not with God, then you are against him. You can't play it both ways. You can't straddle the fence and decide one day you're all in for God, and the next day you're just all in for whatever happens and come around the world. You can't do it. God said, a man that wavers 2 and 4, hey, get nothing from me. You can't be with me today, and then tomorrow you're not. Either you are or you're not. And if you really have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you really seen how he came and taught the word, Jesus only came to teach the word. He taught what God told him to teach us. You're made of love, from love, and that you can communicate with God. He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. So what does that mean, mothers and daughters? If we're going to follow him, then we must do what the Father tells us. Say what the Father tells us to say. We're going to do what he tells us. We're going to say what he tells us to say. And someone might say, well, you know, I don't know the Bible like that. I don't know if I could do that or not because, well, we're here. Just go to Isaiah 41:10, read it. And then you ask the Holy Spirit, show me exactly what this means. How does this work in my life? Help me to see it so that I can believe it. Once you see something on your mind's eye, then you will believe it. People don't believe what they cannot envision. That's why he said the people without a vision, my people without a vision would perish. Because if you can't see it, it's hard to believe it. I can try to convince you of something all day long, but if you don't see it on your mind's eye, then you're not going to ever believe it. We'll argue until Jesus come back on that same point because I'm trying to convince you of something that you have no vision of. It's impossible to believe something that you can't see on your mind's eye. Even the least thing women, you know how this is. When you see something that you want to look like, you see another lady, wow, I like that haircut. I like that dress. I wonder where she got this dress. And them shoes, my God, in that pocketbook. Where did she get that from? Now it's in your eye gate. You've seen the vision of it. Now you made up your mind. That's what I want. I'm going to find that dress. Google, here you go. Amazon, here you go. Because you're looking because you know certain places until you find that dress. Because what? You made a decision. Everything is about making a decision. If you don't make a decision, nothing is going to happen. So you made a decision that you dressed. You made a decision that you was going to get that job. You knew when you went for the interview you was going to get the job. That's why you got it, because you made the decision. But if you go in for the interview and you're nervous and tense, oh, I don't know. I don't know I'm so nervous. I don't know if they'll hire me or not, because, you know, I got this stuff on my record, and I just don't know if my last job I got fired, and if they're going to, oh, Lord, I just, see, doubt and fear will meet you right there with the interviewer. But once you say, God, you told me, fear not, you with me, I'm going to get this job. This is my job. Decision made. You go in there with that confidence, and you're talking to the interviewer, and the interviewer is saying to you, well, how you doing today? And da, 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 you're just talking, yeah, all off the cuff. How you doing? And they're like, I like her. She's got a nice spirit, confidence came in. I just like the way she presented herself. Because they didn't smell doubt. They didn't smell fear. Fear and doubt has an odor. It stinks. It reeks through your body, your skin. People can tell when you have fear and doubt, just like people can tell when you're lying. People can tell when you have negative thoughts and trying to pretend that, you know, you're my friend, laughing in my face. But I can smell you. I can smell it. I can feel the energy walk beside it. What you have on the inside of you is going to come out. If it's in your heart, God said it's going to come out of your mouth. But if it's in your mind, your body, everything is going to respond in that way, because that person is not comfortable around you. And that's what you feel, that energy. They're not comfortable because they know they have negative thoughts going on in their head, and you can feel it. So why would you fear? God have you built to detect negative energy. He gives you a warning when to walk away from somebody. See, sometimes the body wants to say, oh, no, 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 that's my friend. Oh, no, 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 no. God is saying, where are you going? They can't go with you. You got a clean house. And you know it all the time. You know it. Come on now. You know. But for some reason, you're going to doubt God. You're going to, oh, no, Lord, they're not like that. But see, now how you know somebody better than God knows, and God made them and you too? But you're going to tell God that you know this person, and that person is not the way it appears, but that's not the way it is. And God is telling you with all the senses that he's put inside of you, warning, beep, beep, warning, beep, beep, warning, move away from the human. But no, you want to stay. And stay. And then when you get what God was trying to prevent you from getting, then you want to call upon God. And God says, but I told you. But I told you. And you didn't listen. So now you got to walk through this process. How do I know that? Been there, done that. And when I look back over my life, I saw the warnings. I felt the negative energies. I knew it was there, but I kept talking myself out of it. The thought kept coming, and I kept saying, nah, maybe not. Why? Because I wanted to be liked. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to have them as my friend. Well, we've been for years. Well, you wasn't friends. Really, come on. You wasn't friends. It was a needy, needy, needy. I was needy. They was needy. Two needy people are pitiful. Pitiful. You can't be needy together because one can't help the other. Now, if you find out you're needy and you're working on it and you tell the other person, you know what, we need to work on our relationship because I'm needy, you needy. Let's go to God and see if we can get some strength. Don't mean you have to get rid of a person, but that means something has to change. You can't remain the same because God is trying to tell you, I'm taking you somewhere where I need to take you until you get into what I told you to do. You're not. Don't worry about what they think about you. I'm the only person that you should be concerned about. Are you going to end up their house for eternal life? Do they have a home for you to stay in eternally? Can they save you from the wrath of death? Do they have all of that? You choose. Life or death. It's up to you.
So what I'm suggesting, mothers and daughters, just go to Google. Google, what did the Bible say about fear? And my job is,
this is the way God told me to teach. I tell you what he says. I want you to say, did he really say that? Go look it up. Because when you go look it up and read it for yourself, then it enters into your heart. You look at it with your eyes. You read it, and it enters your heart. Challenge me. Go to the Bible. Look it up. Because I'm quoting things that I know to be true because I read the Bible. And if you know the Bible, then you don't have to go read it. You already know it. But if you don't, I'm challenging you. And go look it up. See what God said about it. And trust me, he's going to talk to you differently than he talks to me because we're two different individuals. We're on two different tracks. We have two different levels of knowledge. You may have more knowledge than me in one area or the other. So God's going to talk to you where you are so that you can understand what he's saying, which fits into where you are right now in your life. No two people have the same life. No two people have the same thing going on in any given second of the day because we're that individualized. God is unique, and he don't duplicate. He doesn't duplicate two people to be the same. Even if there's a twin, if they're twins, they are different. So I'm going to go to the Good morning, Deborah.
Yes.
You're on the line, and some people are on the line. If you click one, I can bring you in for the conversation if you want. If not, please sit back, enjoy, and take notes, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. What's your take on this topic this morning, Deborah? Fear not.
Fear not, because I'm with you. And he lets us know by saying fear not that fear will show up. He lets us know that if he casts all your cares on me, because I care, I deal with it. And so it's a natural thing, you know, to have the fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of what if, fear of. And sometimes that stuff never even happens. We imagine it and it goes to another level. And in our mind, we have, you know, visions or thoughts of it being extremely probably worse than what it really is. And so fear for me is, you know, when I'm going to move to a position where I'm unfamiliar. And so as I get familiar with it, the fear fades away. I know that it's not a healthy place to be in, but being in the natural, with the spirit operating inside me, it helps me make the transition. And you know, for a lot of people, I believe that, you know, they experience the same thing, not knowing why this will happen, not knowing if it'll happen, not knowing when it happens, and sometimes it never even happens. You know, for me, it's getting in the car going to work. You know, I'd be you know, making sure I see blind spots, I slow up, you know, to see if somebody's speeding and running the light. I just slow up. I just try to take the precautions that I can, and I leave the rest to God because, you know, like you say, some plant, some water, but the increase is mine. So whatever it is that I need to do, I do the best I can with not allowing fear to come in, like I said, this week with anxiety, not allowing that all the energy from the news and from the country to get in, because there is a what if in my mind, you know. But the bottom line is, I know that God got everything under control, and how it's going to be, that's what he wanted to be. And I said, okay, I'm going to go, I'm going to rest, and I'm going to cast this on you. Yeah, I care. I'm concerned, but I'm not going to be moved with fear of what if, because ultimately, it's God that's my source. Those are resources. God is the source of all resources. So it's just a constant keeping it under the foot. The fear, keep it under the foot. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I'll not be moved. Thank you, Lord. Give me a peace of mind. Thank you, Lord. Comfort my heart. Thank you, Lord. Give me what I need to just make another day. Thank you, Lord. Constantly needing God to, because the fear do try to come in, creep in through the cracks and the crevices and the things of life. You know, so for me, I just try to keep my mind just, you know, why sit here 5 hours and watch the news when I'm trying not to get it in my spirit? Spot check, hit, miss, keep it moving, you know, because I know I can feel it, the energy. And another thing I just want to say, it's like a dog. You see a dog, if dog can sense the fear, you was talking about people can feel fear when you come around and they're not in the right space. They got negativity in their heart and evil in their mind, and you can sense it. And God give you those warnings, and he tell you, hey, you can go left. You go right, then bam, there it is. Oh, something told me. Yeah, something told you. God told you, you know. And so I just be asking God to let me be more in tune to, hey, left. I said, go left, straight. Let me be in tune to those little voices that tell me how to avoid those places that can cause me to be feeling inadequate or feeling scared or feeling things that's not moving. So a dog can sense when you're scared, and that's when he do the most damage because he senses that he got the upper hand on you. So allow God to help you not let Satan think that he got the upper hand on you to bring a fear. So put God on. Sick him, God. Sick him. That's what I do. Sick him, God.
Amen. I like that. I like that. You know, fear is the only way. That's the main thing that Satan uses against humans, because that's the only weapon that he has. It's to distort things and to make it seem larger than it is, or that it's really going to get you. You know, it's like when you're little, the boogeyman kind of a thing. You know what I mean? You know, little mm-hmm. kids couldn't go to bed. They're scared because the boogeyman gonna get you. I don't know why parents would tell children that, or their brothers and sisters would do it just to scare you, get you under their control. The boogeyman gonna get you, and then you can't sleep all night long. The boogeyman. But you know, in your mind, whatever we hear, we believe it. It creates its own energy, and so that's how we get in trouble. Hold on 1 second. I'm gonna bring Cynthia on. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
What is your take on fear not?
Well, I love Deborah's analogy. Sick 'em, God. If you look at the word dog, it spells God backwards. And so God is bigger than any dog that can ever come at us. So when we learn to trust God, then we're not going to be afraid of the dog. So I just thought that was an interesting analogy. And obviously God knew that fear in man would be a problem, because he put in the Bible, literally, according to research, there's 365 times in the Bible, one for every day of the year, that God tells us, fear not. And so when we get in the habit of seeking God's word, we're going to be less fearful. Revelation 2:10 tells us, I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. and you will suffer persecution. He's not talking about prison, a physical prison. We've been in prison by our minds. Leroy Brownslow said it like this: "For we are not, for prison walls do not make a prison. We have been imprisoned by our minds." And you made that point earlier, Dr. Fletcher, when you said that, you know, we get to choose. We get to choose to be in prison of fear, or we can walk out of it anytime we choose. And that's the key word right there, choose. Acts 8:1, on the day a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. But God tells them again, "Fear not, for I am with you." 2 Timothy 3:12, if they obey my teaching, they would obey yours also. In other words, when we get in the habit of obeying God and God tells us not to fear, we're not going to fear. But if you are determined to fear, guess what? You're going to fear. And it takes a lot of work, as you said, Dr. Fletcher. It does not happen overnight. You have got to study God's word and come to believe his word, and that's when you're not going to fear. And in Romans 12, 14 through 19, bless those who persecute against you. In other words, when people come up against you and you start to fear them, you have to put that thought under subjection. You have to go to the word of God. Otherwise, you will allow that fear to fester. And if you allow it to get to the point where it festers, you become more and more fearful of not only what's happening now, but you will continue to fear, and your whole life will be consumed with fearful thoughts. God tells us not to curse those who come up against us and don't fear them, but pray for them, you know? And so when we get in the habit of doing those things, we're going to be walking in the right direction, and that is in the word of God, because that's the only thing that combats fear. Everything else, the enemy is not afraid of our words. He is afraid of the word of God, and that's what puts it under subjection. And when you don't know the word of God, you can't put it on him. I love that analogy when they say, when you open up the Bible, the devil faints. I love it. That's my take on it. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Yeah, we should all do that today. Every time we think about opening the Bible, we have that sucker fainting all over the place. Everybody just open up, flip. It'll be like that little thing that you sent me from Al. We won't call the name, but it'll be just like that, that little cartoon. And you know, people just flip out because when they can't do it,
yeah,
they can't possess other people. Deborah, are you there? So we just have to learn that we don't always get our way. But if we stay in tune with God, we're going to get what God has planned for us, and that's the best way. Because remember, we didn't create ourselves. We didn't create the plan. We don't know the plan. So why would you go renegade and go left when the person that created you is telling you, follow me? Don't worry about it.
Amen.
I got you. Follow me. I'm the light. You can see if you're following me. If you're in the dark and don't have push one to join the conversation, if you're in the dark and you don't have a light, a candle, then what's going to happen, you may run into anything, bump your knee, hit your head up against the wall, anything can happen. But if you got light, you can see. Then why would you want to go out into the darkness on either side or behind you when you close up to the light? Follow the light. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take you through. Simple.
Mm-hmm.
One of our listeners wants to join in on the conversation. Hold on 1 second. Good morning.
Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Fletcher, Professor Oliver, how are you guys doing today?
Just fine.
Well,
awesome. You know, I woke up blessed and highly favored today. Let me tell you, I'm just, you know, I've been thinking about this show all week, and I said, you know, I haven't listened to that show since the last time I listened to it, and I felt like I needed it. Something told me I needed to listen to it today. And I know why now. Because I'm going through some things, and when are we not? Well, either tell my name going out or just finishing. Have a great day, guys. And I'm just, my boyfriend was recently just diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And it's something that has been very hard for me to deal with. And I don't want to sound selfish because I can, you know, far be it from me for what I can handle. But Isaiah 41:10 has been the scripture that just God keeps throwing at me. And he threw it at me back when my daughter was in that horrible accident. And I was so afraid. And he's thrown this verse at me today. Isaiah 41:10, wow. Fear not. And I've been so afraid, of not being able to graduate college, not being able to be strong enough to deal with what is going on in my life, afraid that I'm going to fail. And my daughter told me the other day, she said, Mama, you only fail when you stop trying.
Amen.
Amen.
And so, I want to tell you guys, anybody that's listening, fear is a lie from the enemy. Satan wants you to be afraid. And I'm telling you that God can do anything. God can do everything, but God. But God is what I say all the time. I want to thank
Amen.
You for doing everything that you guys do, all the lifting up that you guys do for me. I'm so blessed to be able to listen to this show today. Even though I'm at work, I'm still listening. And I hear Isaiah 41:10. And I said, Lord, thank you. So thank you. Thank you both. Thank you.
Well,
amen.
You know, the most amazing thing, I really like the way the Holy Spirit works through me. I get up in the morning and I don't worry about it. I don't write anything down. And I've been saying this, you know, that was a big turn from when I first got started. I was afraid to make a mistake. And once the Holy Spirit told me, just be yourself and allow me to speak through you. That's all I want you to do. So this morning I was saying, well, Lord, what are we going to talk about today? And I said, I'm going to open this book. I have a book called Dream Recipe. And I said, I'm going to open this book. And it's going to open up on the page on the topic that you want me to talk about today. That's the only time I've ever done that. Not a book of mine. I've done it for the Bible. So I opened up the book, and it was on fear not. And I said, wow. I said, is this the topic for today? And so he said, yeah, and send it out on the post. So I sent it out on the post first. And then I proceeded to do the layout for the show today. And so usually I'll go to Google and just Google the Bible verses for one particular subject, and I can just quote those one after the other after the other. But this morning God said Isaiah 41:10. Like, don't even say nothing else. You know, I wasn't supposed to mention any other Bible verses. I had them there lined up, 33 Bible verses on fear. But God would not allow me to say nothing but Isaiah 41:10. And when you said what you said, I was like, wow, look at God. It was for you. And let me say this to you. I've known people with stage 4 cancer many times over. And they are just fine. They are living happy because it's all a state of mind. And you tell him, do not receive it. Cancel out the thought. Don't believe it. And replace that thought with Isaiah 41:10. because I believe in my heart God is saying to tell him to hold on to that thought, because I am the light. And now that you said that, I could see when God was saying, I am the light, follow me. And I saw that light, and I saw myself following behind God as we were traveling through the darkness. You tell him to see the light and follow as close behind God as he possibly can. This is not for real. This is a test, because God has something for him to do. That's what's in my spirit.
Yeah. And if you don't mind, allow me to. I'm sorry.
I'm saying you have to be strong. Because, see, he's got to see God in you. If you don't, if you're weak, then you're not helping him. It's best for you not even be around him if you're going to be around wimpy. Remember I told you what the Lord said about your daughter?
Yeah.
And you did exactly what the Lord told you? And your daughter's not walking around now? And that's what the Lord is telling me to tell you? You tell Mike to get as close behind that light, to hold on to that, take that verse with him, read that verse all during the day, and for him to follow that light. Just imagine in his mind that he see God and a big light before him. But he can't see nothing on the side but darkness and behind him. But as long as he stay focused on that light, God's going to walk him through it. But you have been put in a place to be the light that God wants you to be. But if you're crying and you have doubt, you're going to cause him harm. You're going to cause him harm. You already know. God already showed you how he works. He showed it through your child. No. So stop crying. I had to tell you that before.
Yes,
stop crying. Crying don't get you anywhere. That's the enemy. He wants you to cry because, see, pity, doubt, and fear comes in with the crying that you're doing, because you have a fearful cry. So if you want to help him, you got to look at God already seeing you in action. I saw you bring my baby out of coma when I didn't think she was going to make it. And she came out, no smoke on her. She was clean, the right mind, nothing happened to her. God, I see it. I have seen you in action. Did that for her. You're going to do it for Mike. That's it. Bottom line, don't think of nothing else. You choose which one you're going to do. Fair enough?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All right. And we're here for you. So, hey, don't let the devil see you cry. Why are you crying? You're going to see, when you cry like that and fearful, then God is saying what? You are not praising Satan. That came in one of my Bible studies. You're going to praise him or you're going to praise me? When you think on negative thoughts, when you think about people doing you wrong, when you think about this and that is happening to me, or I don't have enough of this, then he said, what you doing? You're giving your praise to that. You're giving more praise to that than you're giving to me. Praise me. I'm the one that can make the change. I'm the one. I'm the healer. So don't praise Satan.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't give him tears. Don't give him your time.
No, ma'am.
Praise God.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Amen. And your strength is found in him. And your strength is found in him. In the same verse that you're talking about, Natasha, God tells you, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help you. I will uphold thee with my right hand. Of my righteousness. So you got to walk it out just as he said, because God is very instructional. Lean on him for your strength, because he is your strength. Don't try to do it in your own strength, because you will crumble. But if you do it in his strength, and how do you do it in his strength? Every time you attempt it, go back to Isaiah 41:10. Say it out loud. Open your mouth. Put it out there in the atmosphere. People probably think I'm crazy because I walk around talking scripture all the time.
especially when I'm tempted to be fearful in this thing called life. Does that make sense to you?
It makes crystal clear sense. Crystal.
Deborah,
you
want to have anything to add?
Thank you for allowing me to share that.
I just want to say, that I'm praying for you, and I'm praying that you will keep your head in the word, because that's where you're going to find your strength. And also, God already set up a resume with you. He already showed you with the daughter. He said, hey, just go back to that time when I did it then, how you trust me then. So he already gave you a resume. He said, look on that thing that I've done and how did I carry you through. And just remember when that if I did it then, I'd do it again. Amen.
The other thing
and
is
Mike
that
has got to have a vision. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Cynthia.
Can I go ahead? Oh, a man without a vision, Mike has got to have a vision of a future, not of death. When there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law is happy. He has got to have a vision of a future.
And the doctors is telling you a report, but the doctors don't tell you the end result. They don't know the end result. So, but before we leave, I want to say this to you, Natasha, and I'm glad you called in this morning. I'm glad God led you to us, because that just let us know that's our award today is the reward of knowing that God has sent someone for us to pour his word into. What a blessing. And I thank you for being obedient and coming. But what I would say later on today, or whenever you get a chance, I want you to talk to Professor Oliver, which audience is Cynthia Oliver. She's a professor at the college, but Natasha is a student there. Natasha, I want you to get with her and let her tell you about her son and his journey through cancer. And I think that's going to be a good blessing for you. I don't
yes,
know what's
ma'am.
Going on. It's something real loud and noisy, but
I'm at work. I'm trying to juggle everything.
Okay,
I apologize.
That's okay. As long as we got to whatever the Lord wants us to get to, our job is done. So you have a blessed day, and we love you, and you know our number is 24/7 to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yes, ma'am.
Hold on one
Thank
second.
You.
We love you.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, ladies, that's our show. Thank you very much, and we'll see you. We love you, Natasha. We'll see you next weekend, mothers and daughters around the world. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, audience. We love you.
Love you, too.